At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
We are back, hour number two of the Lombardi Line on a Monday. Alongside Michael Lombardi, I'm Ben Wilson here from the South Point Sportsbook Studio in Las Vegas. As always, we're presented by BetMGM. Thanks to our producer behind the glass, Matt Santos, whole crew as well, Liz Foster, our technical director. Got Matt Hicks, Kev on audio as well, as always, keeping us from at least trying to look our best here on the air. We always need some help, Michael, behind the scenes. We're doing our best. Harry Gagnon joins us right now. Great to have Harry back on the show. You hear him on the Against All Odds podcast there with Cousin Sal, rest of the degenerate trifecta, as he is also a handicapper, former Vegas sportsbook supervisor. Harry, I wonder, what the hell do you guys even talk about this time of year on Against All Odds? Because I know you guys go way, way deep. When you talk about degenerate trifectas, what have been the latest topics on your podcast the last couple weeks?
Well, guys, listen, hey, thanks for having me on again, as usual. Like, we try to stretch golf a little bit. Sal and I last week had a great interview with the great ESPN announcer, Linda Cohn. She went to Oswego State with me and Sal. So that was one episode, which was fantastic. Awesome. That was great. So if you guys ever want to check that out on extrapoints.com, tremendous interview with Linda Cohn. She was great, like I said. And guys, listen, this past week, Sal came with his son, who happened to be my best man at my wedding, April 30th, came down to Phoenix. We drove 2.5 hours north. We went to the Arena Football League playoff between the Tucson Sugar Skulls and the Northern Arizona Wranglers.
No way.
That's dedication. That's dedication. Wow, that's impressive.
Sal got the tickets. We got third row, 49-30. The place was hopping. It was great.
Wouldn't want Cousin Sal in an Arena League game? I mean, that would be ideal, right? Who wouldn't want that? I mean, if not now, when, Harry?
Right, exactly. And the only problem is, while we're driving up there, Sal's looking all over to find the line. We couldn't, believe it or not, we couldn't find the line. We couldn't bet it.
You know what's crazy?
You gotta make your own line.
Yes, you seriously do. Well, Harry, you're not going to believe this. So I do play-by-play for the Vegas Nighthawks, which are in that same league.
And in Vegas, they
actually have a couple of books they've been putting up lines all year. So you would have had to reach. I could have helped you out with lines. But what's funny is we would go to these games, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Prescott Valley, Arizona. And I would talk to the coach pregame for Vegas, and he'd ask me, all right, what's the line? And I told him, Michael, I don't know if you think this would have actually been a good piece of motivational material, but I was like, Coach, why don't you just tell the guys they're like 9.5-point dogs? Like, tell them nobody believes in us. Just make it up. Because I think they were a pickle when we went to Northern Arizona. Just lie. And he was like, you know what? That's actually a good idea. I don't know if he ever did it. Now they lost the game. They didn't cover. So maybe my advice was all for naught. But anyway, I know exactly where you were. Prescott Valley, Arizona. That's amazing.
Yep. Tremendous, guys. That's great. That's awesome.
Wow. At AAO Harry, by the way, is where you can find Harry Gagnon. We don't want to do a whole 10-minute segment, Michael, on indoor football league playoff action as much as that
especially
would.
Especially one you can't bet on. I mean, especially one you can't bet on.
Especially that is also a secondary a good point. What you can bet on is, of course, the NFL. We've been talking AFC North, Harry, most of the show. Where do you stand right now on the North in general? We've kind of broken down here three of the four teams. We're going to talk Steelers more in depth this hour as well on the show. Who would you make the favorite right now if you were putting your handicapping hat on for the divisional odds there of the four in the AFC North?
Well, the North right now, Baltimore sitting, I see it like plus 170, and then Cincinnati plus 185 for the division. You know, a lot of people might think hangover effect for Cincinnati. I don't see it, though. I'm mixing 1,500 yards combined, Chase almost 1,500 yards combined. He got that 87, guys, 87 rating, wide receiver rating on Madden last week, and I know you know he doesn't like that. But sometimes this stuff, I think, concerns guys in the NFL nowadays more than anything else. It's just this Madden rating. I think he's going to be unbelievable. And they still have Higgins and Boyd. They combined for almost 2,000 yards last year. And on defense, Trey Henderson, a couple years ago, pick up 14 sacks last year. And Logan Wilson led the NFL in tackles. Him and Von Bell, their safety, 200 tackles combined. I love the Cincinnati team. I think they win the division. Their over-under is 9.5. I think they get to maybe 11. But I do like Baltimore, too. 8-9 guys last year. And that was with Lamar Jackson out a lot of the second half and had a complete disarray in the running back position when J.K. Dobbins went down in the preseason and didn't play it down. But Mark Andrews is a solid tight end, probably the second best in the NFL behind Kelsey. Marlon Humphrey, a top three corner. And I think, guys, I like Baltimore to get over 10.5, too. But I still like Cincinnati for the division. But I do like Baltimore to very possibly win the division as well, because and at least go over 10.5, because the second half of the season, guys, from week 11 on, they get Carolina, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh twice, Atlanta, and Cleveland. Better take advantage of that and stay healthy, because also, like I said, I don't like Cleveland this much either. I think guys at 28-1 and 260 to win the Central or the North, I'm sorry, is ludicrous. You don't know the Deshaun Watson situation. Brissett or Rosen definitely doesn't thrill the Cleveland fans. And I just don't. I think Cleveland should be more than what they are. And Pittsburgh, I think, is a nightmare, especially a quarterback.
You know, Baltimore's an interesting schedule. You rarely see this, right? Baltimore plays the AFC East out of the gate. They open up against the Jets in New York. They home against Miami, go to New England, home against Buffalo. And then, you know, it's the AFC South and, you know, and some of the other, you know, they got the NFC South and they play, you know, they play Denver and they play New Orleans, which really isn't very hard. And they play the Giants. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a pretty easy road to hoe.
Yeah, you make a great point there. I mean, yeah, they throw in you get the one extra game there, and it happens to be against the Giants. So that should be a W, too. And I was mentioning, I mean, I really think it's going to be a battle, but I still like Cincinnati a little bit more over Baltimore this season. But Pittsburgh, I know you guys said you were going to mention them, too. Just, again, I mean, 7.5 is their over-under. I'm on the under here. You're going to battle out Trubisky, Rudolph, and then Pickett, who they picked in the first round. They're sitting at 70-1 for the Super Bowl. I just don't think overall the defense is okay, led by Watt, but their offense awful. Even though Najee Harris, guys, had a very productive season last year, Pittsburgh still was just 29th running the ball, 32nd 2 years ago running the ball, and that's because the quarterback position has been pretty much inept for the past couple of years too. Very difficult here situation for Pittsburgh to do anything, I think, this year out of the North.
Yeah, fourth toughest strength of schedule as well.
Yeah, the only thing I don't disagree with what you said on paper. And I think one of the things that Pittsburgh has really done a poor job of is their offensive line is not very good. Now, they signed James Daniel, you know, to bring him back from Chicago. They brought Mason Cole in from Minnesota. So they've tried to add some depth to it. But, you know, the left tackle situation and the right tackle situation, I think, is certainly concerning. But, you know, look, Mike Tomlin has just a way. I mean, the fact that he was able to go to the playoffs, I know – Brendan Staley had a lot to do with his enrollment into the playoffs. But the reality here is, I never want to go against him because he always seems to find a way to win. Mm-hmm. I mean, the 1 year, even when Roethlisberger was hurt and they're playing Mason Rudolph, they led the league in turnovers and they never played from in front the whole season.
Yeah. They still managed 7 wins, right?
Yeah. I mean, it just he doesn't have losing years. That's the thing that worries you.
Truly amazing with what the infrastructure has been able to do there in Pittsburgh. And we've talked about, too, Harry, you look at maybe some of these all-to-win totals as well. Like, if you're really believing either for or against one of these teams, that can be another angle to look at. I think, as Michael points out, do you really expect Pittsburgh to have a super low floor? Maybe you just take the raw 7.5, you play that evenly juiced at -110 and just take an under there instead of maybe going in alt-low, which is right now 6.5 under +140. Is there another alt-win total maybe? Like a team you're really, really high on that, again, we don't have any numbers on the Browns because of the Deshaun situation, but between Ravens, Bengals, that you would take an alt look on and try to get a nice big plus money price?
Yeah, I definitely would try to get one there with Cincinnati, considering, like I mentioned, their offense is going to be dynamite, absolutely dynamite. You mix them, again, like I said, 1,500 yards last year, and if you include Chase Higgins and Boyd receiving last year, 3,500 yards. They just got a fantastic offense. And once there is a number out, I'd like to even consider, guys, once there's a number, going low, going a special adjusted number on Cleveland under, because Chubb and Hunt are a great 1-2 combo. But, I don't know how much that's going to work this season, especially, offensively. Like I mentioned, the quarterback situation, we don't know how many games Watson's going to be suspended for. Brissett and Rosen just doesn't do it for you, and no Jarvis Landry anymore. Rashard Higgins is gone down Carolina. Austin Hooper is in Tennessee, a guy who they 2 years ago was the highest-paid tight end that they paid, Cleveland paid, highest-paid tight end in the league, and he didn't materialize, and they didn't use him enough. And how much after, if the season starts bad, Cleveland's 1-4, how much is Amari Cooper going to show his frustrations on the field as well? So I just don't like this Cleveland team overall, and I think that number, once it goes bad for Cleveland, it's going to go real bad.
It'll be interesting, and Amari Cooper, which we know, he doesn't like cold weather. I mean, if you talk to anybody who was with him in Dallas, he hates cold weather. He don't like playing in it, And the last time I checked is Cleveland gets cold. I just, I live there. Thanksgiving, you might get snow when you take your kids out trick-or-treating.
Last time we did check, that is also a thing. That is also a thing, Michael. For me, the Wisconsinite, Michael, former Cleveland resident, that kind of tends to happen. Harry Gagnon here again. You can find him at AAO Harry on Twitter, host of the Against All Odds podcast. Harry, as we get ready to let you go here, Bengals, I'm seeing 6.5-point favorites week one at home against Pittsburgh. Over under, how many teasers are you going to have Bengals in down to a half point or one? Like over under 7.5 teasers you throw the Bengals in week one.
The teaser
king. I'll tell you, Cincinnati handled them very easily both times last season. But I'll tell you, and Cousin Sal might say this too, Mike, guys, week one of the NFL season, for me, I back off. I don't have to go bet crazy. I just think that it's very interesting to see how week one plays out, because I think it's the hardest week to bet. Everyone's so excited and pumped up. They're ready. Hey, it's football. But what do we really know until the games are actually played? And this is something where I back off a little bit. So those 6.5-7-point spreads, Ben, I don't know, because you tease it down, someone's gonna bite you in week one.
Look at Harry talking with some like he knows what he's doing, like he's been through the wars.
Love it, Harry.
Exactly. Did I sound like that? I hope. Thanks, guys.
You did great, Harry.
Thank you, Harry.
Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Harry Gagnon joining us.
Yes,
always a great pleasure. Even with indoor football talk, you never know what you're going to get out of Harry Gagnon. We'll come back, break down the Pittsburgh Steelers as we roll on hour number two of the Lombardi Line.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Tritus is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
VSiN College Football Guide is out now, and the Pro Football Guide is coming soon. There is no better way to prepare for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Reserve your copy of the Football Betting Guides today and get access to everything we offer for the entire football season with the VSiN All Access subscription. Make this football season your best ever. Subscribe now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back in. It's the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Ben Wilson in Las Vegas, joined by Michael Lombardi. I noticed this today, Michael. Could you believe this? 25 years ago today, Brett Favre signed a 7-year extension with the Packers. He had an average annual cap value of $9.5 million, which made him the NFL's highest paid player at the time. $9.5 million a year 25 years ago today. Hard to believe.
But we always look back at that, but we have to understand, like, you know, when I first got in the league, the TV deal, I think per team was $16 million per club. You know, that's right. that's with television, you know, so it's all tied to that. I mean, the one thing about the deal today is the players get the money. I mean, whether it's, I think it's 51-49 split, the players are making out really well here now as opposed to in the past when they used to have off-season jobs and sell insurance before training camp.
Yep. It's amazing how the world has turned into 25, especially just not the world, but the NFL in general in 25 exact years. Now we fast forward to today where Tyreek Hill was apparently on ESPN this morning, said Tua Tagovailoa, most accurate quarterback in the NFL. I saw apparently Tyreek Hill also dropped an F-bomb at one point.
I mean, that in his contract? Do you think is it his contract to promote Tua? Do you think they said, hey, look, you know, we're going to give you X, but we're going to give you X plus if you really say a lot of nice things about Tua? You know, I mean, look, we haven't seen a clip since he fair caught that deep ball and that poor kid got fired for putting it up there. I don't know.
Amazing.
It's going to be interesting to see. Look, Miami's a team that has a lot of things going for it, right? They've got a good defense. Whether they can cover without Byron, you know, without another corner, I think they are susceptible to that. I mean, you don't throw at Xavier Howard. You got to throw at Byron Jones, who's, to me, overpaid and hasn't really delivered. But they can rush. They got a good scheme. And, you know, their offensive line, to me, is a challenge, whether they can hold up. And the quarterback's a challenge. I mean, there are two things that I think are going to be challenging. And if they answer those positively, then, you know, they've got a chance.
Tyreek Hill doing his best to meet the Tua quota, I guess is the best way we can phrase it there with his appearance on ESPN. Maybe, yeah, it's like, Tyreek, maybe hold off on the F-bombs when you're on live TV, but, you know, at least whatever. Management, they'll be a fan of you just continuing to pump up Tua. AFC East, that is a division still to come for us on our preseason breakdowns here, Michael. But as we go back into the AFC North, final team for us to really do the deep dive look at is Pittsburgh. I want to start with what we saw last offseason from the ownership room and Art Rooney, who comes out and says, we want to turn back the clock to 1970s Pittsburgh Steelers football. A bit of an ironic statement considering they had just hired Matt Canada as a new offensive coordinator, very much a new wave type of offensive mind, using pre-snap motion, a lot of play action as well. So if you're looking at things now that the Ben Roethlisberger era is over, Michael, how are you managing things if you're looking at where Pittsburgh is at from an organization where there's clearly some changes there, and there's definitely a gap between what the ownership group wants and what the guys you've hired there to run the offense are certainly looking to do?
Well, I think that's the disconnect, right, Ben? So I think when they hired Matt Canada to come in and run Matt Canada's offense, which features a lot of tight end under routes that, you know, he did when he was at Pitt, and he loves that play. But Ben wasn't going to get, you know, Matt Canada wants the quarterback somewhat under center. You know, he wants him under center at times. And Ben was having none of that. Like, Ben wanted nothing to do with being under center. Ben wanted to be in shotgun. Get this ball to me as quickly as you can and let me get it out of my hand as quickly as I can so they can all advertise that I get rid of the ball the quickest on next-gen stats on television. They can't wait to do that, right? But, you know, the receivers aren't even ready to catch the ball. But who gives a darn? I'm going to throw it to him anyway. You know, so I think what you're going to see is going back. They're going to be in more under center. You'll see more play action, which Trubisky needs badly, right? Trubisky is not a very good quarterback when he has to hit his fifth step and read the coverage. If the practice goes off the way that goes in the game, if Trubisky can simulate it in the game the way it was at practice, he can be effective. He's got athleticism. He can run. You know, he's not the most accurate quarterback at times. But when the game speeds up and he's got to decide, is this cover seven or is this quarters? Is this eight? I don't know what to do with the ball.
Right.
You know, that's, and what takes that away is play action. Because what play action does is it separates the defense. It draws the second level in, and it pushes the third level back. So there's this huge void in between the field, and that the quarterback and a guy like Trubisky can see.
You think,
and then he makes the throw.
Yeah, do you think, I mean, for having a year like he had, where you get out of the spotlight of Chicago, you go to Buffalo, you get to work with Brian Daboll, who has done so many good things with Josh Allen, and at least, you know, in his time before leaving Buffalo from last season, what do you think that impact will actually have on Trubisky going forward? Is it enough of just a confidence boost? Is that enough for him to actually be effective now that you do go to a new team and a new system here in Pittsburgh?
Well, I think what Matt Canada has to do is understand who Mitchell Trubisky is and define the offense around him. You know, that's really the essence of it. I mean, you know, there was a time where Brian Daboll couldn't, you know, he was a coordinator in Miami. He was a coordinator in Cleveland. You know, he was a coordinator in Kansas City and never really had any good quarterbacks and, you know, was having a hard time getting a coordinator's job. I mean, he came to New England as the tight end coach for 2 years. But once he got with Josh Allen, all of a sudden now he became a quarterback guru. And Brian's always been a good coach. It's just who you're coaching, yeah. Right? That's what makes you the guru. You know, when you got Josh Allen running the single wing, you become a better coach. When you got someone else running it, you're not so good. So, you know, Trubisky for Canada, Canada's going to have to understand Trubisky and understand his weaknesses, his deficiencies, and where he really wants to throw the football. And they're going to rely on Najee Harris, who, you know, he didn't average a lot per carry. I think it was a 3.9, but he gained over 1,000 yards. I mean, they're going to run the ball. And this offensive line's got to take a giant step forward. They've got to play better up front. Whether they can or not, I don't know, but they're going to have to. That's going to be the key. Defensively, what I think it's overlooked is they've got a blue-chip player in the secondary in Fitzpatrick. They've got a blue chip player at linebacker, and whether you call him a linebacker or on the ball guy, in TJ Watt, and Cam Hayward's a player. So they got three really good players. Mm-hmm. And Miles Jack comes in, who's a really good player. If he's healthy, he could be a good player. So can Alex Highsmith. So they've got some really good players on their defense, and they're the team that signed Larry Ogunjobi, right? After the injury, he's on their team now. So they've got a chance to, you know, to be a decent team defensively. I think they're being overlooked a little bit because on paper, offensively, they don't look good. But this Tomlin guy can coach.
I think we've seen that a time or two, maybe 16 times over the years there with how many years he has been able to be so consistent in Pittsburgh. I would think, too, Michael, a lot of people look at the Stephon Tuitt retirement and they say, well, all right, you've got some of these blue chip guys like you mentioned, but the depth just isn't there behind it. And now that you lose another key piece like a Tuitt to retirement. But realistically, though, what is the depth like defensively there for Pittsburgh? Since it certainly seems like you're higher on them as a overall unit than maybe other people are.
Well, I mean, look, last year when you watch them play, I mean, they're always in a deficiency. I mean, because their offense was so bad, you know, and the fact that they can rush the passer, you know, the fact that they can, you know, make some play. Now, their secondary didn't play very good at all last year. They've got to improve. But, you know, when you break this team down, what they were able to do is they could play situational football. And, you know, they're able to put pressure. Last year they struggled, which is uncharacteristic of a Mike Tomlin team. They were the worst team in the National Football League defensively in yards per attempt against them rushing. They couldn't stop a running game. They gave up more yards rushing than any team, which makes their passing numbers look a lot better, right? Because mm-hmm. That's what usually happens. If I can run the ball against you, I don't throw it as much. So that you can run the ball, and I think that's where they have to get better. They've got to get better in those areas. And I think if they do, if they can stop the run, if they can play from in front and let TJ Watt run, because we know this. Third down defense last year, they were the seventh best team in the league. That's good. They were the fifth best team in the red zone. That's why they won 9 games. Again, those two numbers I just gave you, that's a reflection of coaching.
Yep.
That's situational football. That's where they're so good. And I think that they'll be just as good. Now, look, they gave up a lot of points to Kansas City. They gave up, what, 78 points to Kansas City in the two games? I mean, they have a hard time stopping that when they go against good quarterbacks. But situationally, they're pretty good.
7.5, the win total for them. You look at Pittsburgh, and the schedule is what you kind of identify as a part that did not do them any favors. Fourth toughest schedule this year. You go at Cincy, New England at home, at Cleveland. Of course, you're expecting no Deshaun Watson there. And look, Jets at Bills, Tampa at home, at Miami, at Philadelphia there before the bye, Michael. So it's going to be a challenge right out of the gates, your first eight games for them.
No, it's not. But look, you know, the one thing about Tomlin is he's never going to step ahead of himself, and his team will be ready to play. And I think Brian Flores will help them defensively as well.
It's a great friend as well. We kind of forget about Flores. He's in the mix as well there for Pittsburgh now, coming over after his stint ends mid-season last year with Miami. Pittsburgh Steelers, kind of how we discussed last year. Like, they have the longest odds to win the division. I think last year they had the third longest odds ahead of only Cincinnati. But not a team that we would be saying, yeah, go ahead and just lay $4 on them to miss the playoffs. Not as easy or as simple or as straightforward.
I mean, Harry's got more confidence than I do, Ben. I don't have that confidence. I'm going to go with Tomlin. I'm going to go with a track record.
There's no reason for me to rebut anything you go with when you talk about track records and Mike Tomlin in particular. Pittsburgh Steelers, very interesting team there. Maybe at the bottom of the AFC North. We'll see. We'll wrap up the show when we go through our full thoughts on how the AFC North will break down. But up next, we do go out to Josh Applebaum. He's got his Daily Market Insights podcast that drops soon. We'll get Josh's insights on today's MLB card and some other topics, maybe the NFL as well. That's next on the Lombardi Line. Welcome back into the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Been an absolute blast so far on this Monday edition of the show with Michael Lombardi. I'm Ben Wilson. We have Josh Applebaum ready to go with his Daily Market Insights podcast. You see Josh every day as well here on the network, Betting Across America, 3 to 4 Eastern. Josh, welcome in. Let's continue the AFC North discussion here, my friend, because I know you've got some win totals you're looking at as well. We've gone through our deep dives, all four teams. Which teams do you find yourselves higher or lower on than the rest of the market right now as we sit on July 25th there in the AFC North?
Yeah, Ben, Michael, it's great to be with you. And again, I think this, you know, your perception of the AFC North really dependent upon waiting for this shoe to drop with Deshaun Watson. So we all know there's going to be a suspension. We don't know how long it's going to be. You've heard possibly a year. You've heard maybe eight games. But either way, that win total for the Browns, it's really not up. We can't find it anywhere. There are some futures, you know, division odds, basically. But I think what a lot of people are doing, and again, can't blame anyone, waiting and waiting and waiting, twiddling your thumbs, waiting for this Watson news to come out. But I think you should be a little more proactive. There are two teams that I would target in that division, both the Ravens and the Bengals, to their overs, thinking that depending on how long Watson is out, maybe it's eight games, maybe it's a year, but either way, those are the teams that are going to benefit the most from Watson not taking snaps. If it's going to be Jacoby Brissett, or maybe there is a trade to be made for Jimmy G, but either way, no Watson is a benefit to his divisional opponents. So let's start here with the AFC North in terms of the Ravens, guys. This is a team that, you know, for years and years, there's been a great culture built by Jim Harbaugh, 137-88 in his 14 years as coach, a 609 win percentage. He's won 10 or more games in 8 of his 14 years and 3 of his last 4 years. But last year, you're kind of, you know, again, decimated by injuries. You only went 8-9. Your win total is 9.5 this year, really juiced up over -150. And also, there's kind of this, you know, thing where, you know, the Bengals are the shiny new object. They're the big flashy team. But I think people might be sleeping on the Ravens, again, especially with Jackson, you know, only playing 12 games last year. We look at this team 8-9, so many injuries. Maybe you're looking for some positive regression as well. Over 9.5, -150 to make the playoffs, -150. The yes there. They are the favorites to win the division, +160 at DraftKings. Aside from, you know, Harbaugh, another thing to keep an eye out for, guys, we got preseason games coming up before we know it. Harbaugh is your number one preseason coach in the NFL. Again, this is a guy that takes these preseason games seriously. He's 36-15 against the spread, 71%, covering pretty much 7 out of 10 preseason games. He's 25-1 to win coach of the year. And also, you know, getting healthier, not just Jackson, but Dobbins, Peters in the secondary. They also have the 10th easiest schedule based on their opponents from last year, just 136-151. They're playing a .474 win percentage. In Jackson, again, I think your perception obviously hinges on him. You know, we saw last year when Huntley took over, they covered a lot of numbers. They were a really good contrarian bet as a dog late in the year, but they really couldn't get it done and win those games. If Jackson's healthy, does that now flip? You look at his totals this year as props, 3,550.5 passing yards, 24.5 TDs, 6.5 rushing TDs. So maybe you're banking on a Jackson bounce back, the culture of the Ravens, getting them back to their winning ways. But overall, guys, what's the market telling us? You go 8-9 last year, 9.5 win total, 9.5 this year, but over -150. Give me the Ravens to win 10 games again, guys.
You heard it first. Josh Applebaum, he's high on the Ravens. I should have known, Michael, should have reminded you. We knew Josh would have preseason angles on one John Harbaugh, Baltimore Ravens.
You know, it's good. Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting. I mean, you know, some guys, they obviously take it into account. John's got to be careful, though, you know, because of the injuries that occurred last year. And right. He's got to be cautious about how much does he use the three preseason games to really. Now, I know he's going to play to win, but playing to win is different than playing your veterans, right? You know, is he going to play Ronnie Stanley a lot in the preseason? Is he going to try to get Juwan James or somebody else some reps? The kid they drafted out of Minnesota. Is he going to play Morgan Moses in the pre? You know, what's he going to do? Because he's got some older guys on his team, Calais Campbell. You know, and if he loses those guys, like what we saw last year, it becomes a problem. And so that's the delicate balance. And I wrote about this for VSiN last week is, you know, how do you handle that? How do you get your team ready without really having to play the preseason?
And that's an amazing thing to think about, too, just because everything, Josh, you say is totally accurate. Guy's been a cash cow if you actually bet preseason games. But this is he's never had this many injuries coming off of a season like he's going into 2022. So I will be very curious to see what the lines end up looking like when we get to some of these Baltimore preseason games. How about their big rival, though, Josh? Pittsburgh, who Michael and I, we just did the deep dive on the Steelers last segment. We're sitting right now at about 7.5, pretty even juice there on the win total. So where do you look at on a team like Pittsburgh? Again, you talk about really good infrastructure. Now there is a changing of the guard, though, at the quarterback position, and it leads to an interesting discussion to be had on Pittsburgh this year.
So I'm kind of leaning a little bit, and I think you have different perceptions of this team, but I'm leaning a little bit on maybe buying low on their over, because we did see some shops, most of them open 7.5, guys, but I just dialed up DraftKings, and they're 7. They're at 7, juiced up over -120. So I think a lot of times when you're looking at these win totals, you know, they can move throughout the summer. We all know this. Again, you can go up a half game, down a half game. Some teams like the Eagles open as low as 8.5, and now they're up to 9.5. But I think when you see these moves, you got to take a step back and say, hey, am I getting the worst of it? Did I miss the good move? Like, it's good to know that they moved up or down, but if you miss that good number, you're, you know, quote unquote, chasing the steam, or maybe it lands on that number early where the early bettors cash and you're late and you miss that. So that's something to keep in mind. But I think one thing when it comes to Pittsburgh that I'm banking on, if you look at their schedule, guys, and it's kind of interesting, my angle would be buying low on the 7 because it fell from 7.5 down to 7, but also they have the least amount of travel miles of any NFL team. I believe they play in the same time zone the entire year. So again, in terms of your opponents, you got some tough ones we see on the board here. And obviously, you know, the Bucks, the Bills, you know, the Eagles, the Colts, playing the Bengals, obviously twice within your division as well. But the fact that you have a bye right in the middle of the season, you don't really travel at all outside the Eastern time zone. To me, that's something that is a built-in benefit. Also, you know, MVP Mitch, I won't make Michael's head explode here, but are you buying low on him? Does he bounce back in? Is he kind of back to that early Chicago days? Do we see Kenny Pickett? You know, I would probably want to wait and kind of like let him, you know, get acclimated to the NFL, like kind of with Mahomes. You don't want to throw his feet in the fire too early. But to me, I lean on the fact that they have that super easy schedule in terms of really no travel, fewest miles. You know, the opposite would be Seattle, who leads, you know, the league there in travel miles. I'm thinking of maybe buying low on that over 7, guys. It's not my favorite win total, but I think this team, you know, can you go 7-10, push? Can you win 8 games and win? I think that's doable.
It's funny we didn't even bring up Kenny Pickett, Michael. We just talked about Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's doable based on past history. I don't think they're as bad defensively as people make them out. I know their numbers weren't great, but they have improved. I think ultimately not having been there will allow them to at least try to get under center and run an offense, which will help their offensive line tremendously. So, and look, Tomlin's never had a bad season, and I don't think he's about to start.
7.5, Josh. If you find 7s as well, they're juiced over. That's where Josh Applebaum is leading here on the AFC North. Josh_insights, by the way, where you find Josh on Twitter. You have the Market Insights podcast here for today. Josh, scale of 1-10, how much are the people panicking there in Boston after the Sox were absolutely bludgeoned over the weekend? It was what, 40-10 they got outscored by the Blue Jays? I don't know. Is the panic set in yet there at Fenway?
It's fully set in, guys. It's getting bad here. They won't offer Devers a contract. When they do, they lowball him, almost what they did to John Lester years ago. Bogarts could leave in free agency. You know, you got these players barking. They're up. They're mad at management, you know, for not giving these guys contracts. Chris Sale gets hurt. Red Sox have been getting really just blown apart here in recent days. I'm thinking about betting against them today, guys. They're at home against Cleveland. Red Sox open like a minus 115, very, very short favorite. You know, if they're running well, they should be minus 150 or more in this kind of game. But despite the public is saying, Sox, I know you're struggling, but you're at home, it's Fenway, you still got some, you know, good start players that we recognize, but it's down to a pick 'em, guys. Despite around 2/3 of bets on Boston, we're down to minus 105 both sides. So Red Sox, 1-9 their last 10, 3-13 their last 16. Pavetta in the month of July, he's got an ERA almost 13.5 here. I'll take the Guardians in kind of a pick 'em type number. And also, Ben, you got to dial up your and text your buddy Pete Rose, because something's up with the Cincinnati Reds today. We all know they're god-awful. They have a worse record by far than Miami. But even though Miami's getting about 2 out of 3 bets today, this is Rogers against Lodolo, Cincinnati Reds open minus 110-ish. They're up to like minus 130. That is an ultimate fade the trendy dog. So go text Pete Rose, Ben. I'm going with the Reds. It's fishy. Give me Cincinnati today.
Hey, Michael, I can tell you this too. I don't need to text Pete Rose to tell you that Trevor Rogers is on the mound for Miami, who has an ERA over 6. He's pitching in a ballpark that is kind of susceptible to giving up home runs. I think that's your reason there, Josh. I think Pete would probably say the exact same thing. By the way, Pete Rose in Cooperstown, New York this weekend. He's been signing autographs there. So anyway, that's your Pete Rose update. So Rogers for the Marlins, Lodolo there for the Reds. I'm seeing now up to minus 135. It's a BetMGM there on the Reds. Any other plays you're looking at there, Josh, tonight here on the Monday slate?
Yeah, so one I'm looking at, guys, too, you know, it's a little bit more of a juice price here, but the Atlanta Braves, they've been getting hit pretty much nonstop since this line dropped. The Braves are on the road facing Philadelphia. They open like minus 150. They're up to minus 175. We've seen these road favorites around 61%. And also these teams, if you made the playoffs last year, you're favored in this game today. You're playing a team that missed the playoffs last year. Really good system match there, 166 and 88, 65%. Max Fried, I think your play here is your trust in Max Fried. 10-3, 2.64 ERA. In his last 11 starts, the Braves are 10-1 in those starts. The kid pitches great, the young southpaw. He gets a lot of run support. Atlanta, 24-10 against lefties facing Ranger Suarez. Give me the Atlanta Braves here. And guys, give me all your good vibes, because this is a huge week for legalized betting in Massachusetts. We have 7 days left to get this thing passed. I'm on pins and needles over here. We'll see what happens, but we're entering the ninth inning here to get this thing done.
All right, there we go, Josh. Well, good vibes sent your way, Josh Appelong. Thanks, Josh. As always, we'll see you here coming up 3-4 Eastern there on Betting Across America. Josh_insights, where you find Josh on Twitter. Great stuff as always. Josh, thank you for the time as always. And we're going to come back. Final thoughts for Michael and myself here on the AFC North as we wrap things up. Lombardi Line final segment comes up next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. As we're back for the final time, it's the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Big thanks to all of our guests today, Thomas Gable from the Borgata, Harry Gagnon from the Against All Odds podcast, and Josh Applebaum with his Market Insights podcast for joining us here on the Monday show. Back with Michael Lombardi for the final time. I'm Ben Wilson. Thanks as well to Matt Santos, our producer behind the glass. Just a couple rapid-fire news and notes we've seen pop up today, Michael, as the week gets off underway and we have training camp opening for a bunch of teams here. So I don't know if you saw over the weekend, Sean McDermott announces that Roger Saffold, he has a car accident, injures his ribs, and he starts camp now on the non-football injury list. So they just signed Jordan Simmons, just a one-year deal there for the guard. So it is at least interesting, something that, you know, 3 days ago we didn't think the Bills would have really any issues there on the O-line, but now they clearly are going to at least start camp here with trying to bring in some new pieces there in Buffalo.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, the one thing about the offensive line in Buffalo, they need to improve. I think they did. Saffold, you know, he's been at the Rams. He's been at Tennessee. You know, he'll get healthy for the first game, you hope to be, so that won't be a problem. And, you know, the key for Buffalo is how they continue this way they were running their offense. Ken Dorsey takes over. You know, how much will they continue and involve Josh Allen in this run game, mm-hmm. because he's dangerous. He's really hard to defend when they do that, and it becomes really a problem, and I think that's what makes them so explosive offensively.
Yes, and you have Simmons as well. They bring in, been basically a career-long backup or practice squad guy. He's only been in 25 active games. He was with the Raiders last year, but they signed him today. Speaking of offensive lineman signings, now this is a team that needs a whole lot of help on the O-line. The Chicago Bears signed Michael Schofield. That was just reported today. So, again, though, it's like, if you're the Bears, you got a lot of issues on that in that position group. I don't know how one veteran signing is really going to impact things there.
Well, I mean, plus, you know, how good is Schofield, right? You know, I mean, he's bounced around a little bit, and he's kind of towards the end of his career. So does he really improve you? He just gives you a veteran guy because they've got so many young players. I mean, I think this is going to be one of the teams, and I know this is in the other north, not the one we're talking about, but I have a hard time seeing the Bears win in six games. I really do, based on the lack of where we see their quarterback, the skill, and then defensively.
You look at him, played with the Chargers last year. Comes into an offensive line. I think we were joking about that the other week. Like, who will even start at left tackle to begin for the Bears? I think it was like Larry Borum, former Missouri Tigers, the projected guy there for Chicago. But that's probably not a good sign when and I think he's a second-year guy there. It's not gone well for the Bears on the O-line.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jenkins, the kid they drafted from Oklahoma State, that's been a struggle. So it's going to be hard. I mean, look, all these teams have hard. And, you know, when you go back to it, you've got to stick with what you know, right? You got to stick with the fact that you got a good coach. I mean, Mason Rudolph played quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers the year that, you know, when Ben got hurt and he played a bunch of games, you know, and they were able to at least – be competitive. And, you know, it wasn't like they were the best team in football, but for some reason, Mike Tomlin's always had an ability to make his team play a lot better than it really is on paper.
It's amazing how that has worked. As we get into our final thoughts here on the AFC North, the one other piece of injury or signing news that came out today in various media availability, Zach Taylor in Cincinnati saying that, and for all the talk we've had, Michael, today on all the revamped offensive line there for the Bengals, Lael Collins dealing with a back issue that has bothered him in the past. They put him on the non-football injury list ahead of their starter training camp as well. So it already begins there with the O-line, as Collins doesn't sound incredibly serious there, but they just called it a back issue, and now that remains to be seen. Back issues in O-lineman, Michael, never a good combination.
Never good. No, never good. And he's had a hard time staying healthy on the field for them there, you know, in Dallas. And that's been a concern. So whenever a guy with an offensive line has a back injury and he starts on the non-football related injury. So why is that not physically unable to perform? Why is it a non-football related injury? Okay. So this is kind of tells us a little bit about the injury. So they put him on an NFI, which means that injury didn't occur when he was doing a football drill. Okay. That means that if they cut him, they're not obligated to him. And if they put him on the reserve list, they can pay him anything they want, from a dollar to his full contract.
Wow.
Okay, so he didn't come in and flunk the physical. He came in with an injury that was outside of the realm of the team. And that, to me, is significant, especially when it's a back. Especially when you're dealing with a back injury and you're dealing with an older player. You know, I call him an older player. He's only 29 years old. But when you get up there and you have this back injury that goes on, and it's a critical position for the Bengals, because last year, you know, they struggled through that right tackle. Mm-hmm. You know, they tried to bring a bunch of different people in and it really never worked. Jonah Williams, to me, is not a great left tackle to begin with. And so they had problems on both sides of the line. They need Collins to come through. And look, the offensive line coach was with Collins down there, you know, the former offensive line. So he knows him and he kind of wanted to bring him in. We'll see if that happens. We'll see if he can stay healthy. The fact that they NFI'd him tells you a lot.
Frank Pollock, the offensive line coach there down in Cincinnati, yep, as you mentioned, formerly with Dallas. I wanted to ask you, too, about, so you have a guy like a Jonah Williams who really, really struggled as a rookie and had injury, was at least good enough to be in the rotation last year. But that's on a rookie deal, they're certainly, I know in their room, they're high on him, but that's a lot of trust to put in a guy now left tackle, and they're assuming it's just going to work from day one here.
Right, and then I think what people don't realize is during the playoff games, you know, Burrow took sacks. You know, he wouldn't throw the ball away. Remember, they only had two turnovers since the 49er game, where they had four. So they went the almost the rest. They were 6-2 the rest of the year, and then they won four playoff. Then they went to four play. They didn't turn the ball over because he took sacks, because this kicker was so accurate. You know, and I think when we start talking about all the things that have to go right for Cincinnati, and they certainly have talent, and I think Harry's right, they're a better team, assuming Collins plays mm-hmm. left tackle and Kappa plays right guard, you know, and Karras can play center. Those three players should improve over where they were last year. But can McPherson continue this hot streak? I don't see why not, but that's a huge factor in why they were so good.
Right.
And he was able to offset some of the decisions that they made in terms of holding onto the ball instead of trying to force it into coverage.
51 sacks taken by Burrow last year, led all quarterbacks. If I was to set the over-under, let's just say, because he had 32 as a rookie, and that was in only 10 games before injured. Let's just say I was to set it, Michael, at 40.5 sacks this year he takes. Would you go over or under on that?
I should go under, because at some point you're going to have to check the ball down, right? At some point you're just saying, look, we're just going to check this thing down. We're going to get the ball out of his hand, mm-hmm. you know, and we can't let him keep getting hit, because once he keeps getting hit, at some point his eye level is going to come down. The amazing thing about the great Joe Burrow, and I say great because he really played great, is the fact that his yards per attempt ranked third in the National Football League, and yet he got sacked more times than anybody on a percentage basis. So he was able to make throws down the field, explosive throws down the field. Now, some of them were yards after the catch, because Chase catches a slant against Baltimore. They miss eight tackles. He scores a touchdown. But he was really dynamic in getting the ball down the field, and his yards per attempt did not signify where he typically would be for as often as he got hit. You know, when you're getting hit as much as he was, and you average 8.9 yards per attempt, that's pretty impressive.
And leads the league in that. It's all, how rare is it to see a guy leads the league, take the most sacks of anybody, but he also leads the league in yards per attempt, and amazing, as well as completion percentage, over 70% last year.
He led the league in percentage. I mean, you know, which tells you maybe he's throwing short passes, but he's getting sacked so much. To me, I think he's only going to get better too. I think we're underestimating that in the win total here. I agree they're not going to take anybody by surprise. I agree that a lot of things have to go right. They've got to kick. They've got to play well on defense. Their secondary, which was a liability early, has got to play like it did in the playoffs. But I said this during the playoff time. I don't think they would have gotten away with how they played Kansas City in the playoffs the way they would in the regular season. They would have gotten mm-hmm. called for more penalties. So that leads me to believe that the number might be the right number. The number I'm not sure is the right number is on the Steelers. I think history says they'll be better than 7 wins.
I'd have to think so. At least, you know, it's funny, the Bengals, the general narrative, it's like, well, they're the Super Bowl loser, so it's got to be a hangover. I mean, if there's a quarterback or at least a guy to lead a team, you would think would go against that notion. Wouldn't it be Joe Burrow with the way we've seen him quarterback the first 2 years?
There's no doubt. And his competitiveness and his willingness to have competitive stamina, right? Like, he's not satisfied with just getting there. And, you know, he didn't have one progressive commercial like our man Baker had.
Right. Yeah. Look, it's been it has been a much more dialed in and laid back offseason for Burrow as he's tries to get Cincinnati there back to the postseason. We'll see how it all works out this year. Very, very deep dive breakdown for us today, though, on the show with the AFC North. Thanks to our guests as well. Michael Lombardi, you're with us tomorrow as well, so can't wait for that. Going to be another fun show.
Thank you so much, Ben. Thanks,
absolutely.
Matt Santos.
Thank you, Matt Santos, our producer behind the glass. Thanks to everybody as well involved behind the scenes here at the South Point. I'm Ben Wilson saying so long from the Lombardi line. Up next, it's Odds On with Mike Palm and Mal Shaw from our Circa Sportsbook Studios here in Las Vegas.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.